And joining us right now at PMP Network is Aaron Klein. We've been telling you about him. There's a book called Schmoozing with Terrorists, From Hollywood to the Holy Land, Jihadists Reveal Their Global Plans to a Jew. It's a very interesting book, and I would recommend it as some interesting reading. It's on WND Books, and I want to talk to you about a number of things. Let's talk, first of all, some politics. We have an election going on in this country between John McCain, a Republican, and Barack Obama, a Democrat. Barack is right now, has been in the Middle East and in Israel. You are right now in Israel as we speak?
Yeah, indeed. I'm calling in from Jerusalem right now.
So have you been following the Obama campaign?
Yes, I've been on the ground with him in Jerusalem, in Ramallah, in Amman, Jordan, 2 days ago. And everyone seems to be following the Obama campaign. Half the network news anchors, if not more, have been in Jerusalem and Amman. They're following him now to Berlin. A lot of people are paying very close attention to Barack Obama's Middle Eastern and European tour. I know that American Jews in particular are paying attention to what Obama has been up to in Israel and following that aspect very closely.
Well, see, Obama seems to be saying at this point the right things. He's trying to placate the Jewish population as well as all the folks on the other side.
Yeah, of course he's saying the right things. He wants to become elected president, but I think that if you look at polls, just take the American Jewish community, for example, in the United States. Traditionally, they're Democrat. Actually, about 80 to 81% of American Jews voted for Al Gore, incredibly, I don't know why, in 2000. And then in 2004, about 80% voted for John Kerry. But polls are showing that American Jews, only about 50% of them support Barack Obama at this point. And I think that they're concerned about his position when it comes to Israel, about some of his alliances and affiliations and advisors that are considered a little bit more on the Palestinian side than on the Israeli side. He's been saying sometimes the right things. Other times he says certain things, and then he retracts them the next day. Like back in June, he gave a pro-Israel speech in Washington, and he seemed to say that he supported an undivided Jerusalem, which means Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And then just 12 hours later, he's on CNN retracting those statements, saying that he supports what's called a negotiated settlement, which means Palestinians get certain areas. So he's been back and forth with so many things, and I think that not just American Jews, but Americans in particular are paying attention, like his troop withdrawal plan from Iraq, because he's had 10 or 15 plans already, almost to get American troops out by January 2008, and then it was a 16-month plan, and then it was a 2-year plan, and then a 16-month plan, and now we're back to the 2010 plan. But I guess overall, he certainly seems to be doing well, because Americans and certainly the American news media is in love. They're in love with him.
Well, the American news media certainly does love him, and it's interesting to note that all these things he's had, situations with all these people that he's been aligned with, he's just escaped because the media just downplays it all.
I know. I mean, you would think that it would be an important issue for Americans that the man who's running for president of the United States went to a church for 20 years that preached against white people and that preached against the United States of America, that he has advisors and relationships. Because put Israel aside, forget about America and the Jews. Look at Obama's relationship with Bill Ayers, who's a confessed domestic American terrorist, and Rashid Khalidi, who advocates the destruction of Israel and has certain anti-American views. And a lot of his spiritual advisors, not just Jeremiah Wright, but Michael Flegger was identified as one of his advisors. And this was the Catholic priest who I'm sure you heard called Hillary Clinton a white supremacist. And a lot of his early relationships also you would think Americans would be concerned about, but they're not. Like his church, his advisors, his affiliations with people who are close to Louis Farrakhan and close to the Nation of Islam, I think they beg, these kinds of relationships beg questions to be asked by any media, whether you're conservative media or liberal media. But it doesn't really seem that there's any investigative reporting whatsoever on the part of ABC, NBC, CBS, the New York Times. They're just kind of letting these things slide. And then if Obama says, well, he didn't know he went to this kind of church for 20 years, or he, as soon as he distances himself from yet another advisor, the media just accepts it and moves on to the next pro-Obama story.
Well, that's because those particular media outlets you named are working for the Obama campaign. I mean, let's not say that they're being in the middle here, covering both sides. They are working for the Obama campaign.
There's no question. I'll give you an example. I did an interview that became pretty well-known around the world where Hamas, a Hamas terror organization, said they hoped that Obama becomes president. And I'm very close. One of my friends is the brother of somebody who pretty much runs ABC News. And this story was sent immediately to ABC News, and they wouldn't even touch it. They actually said that they're treating Obama with kid gloves. That's the message that I got back from my good friend. And then after it was picked up on WorldNet Daily and then the blogs and then conservative radio and then Fox News, eventually the New York Times and ABC and CBS had to cover it, but they cover all these things with a very positive spin. So I mean, there's no question. They're absolutely working for or on behalf of Obama.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. And I remember reading, actually, I think I might have heard it on the Rush Limbaugh show when you had that quote from Hamas, so in an interview with you. And my first question when I heard about this is not who Hamas supports. I would assume that if you asked Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, the PLO, Islamic Jihad, I assume they all would, if they were going to pick one of those people, they would endorse Obama.
Well, I know that as a fact because I actually asked them, and it's in the book in Schmoozing with Terrorists about how basically when it comes to American politics, the bottom line with America's terrorist enemies is that they don't really know so many particulars of all of our politicians or even presidential candidates. They see things in a very black and white view, and to them, Republicans are bad because it was the Republicans who declared the war on terror. It was the Republicans who invaded, as they see it, invaded Iraq, invaded Afghanistan. So they don't like Republicans. I personally don't think Republicans are doing such a good job on the war on terror, but the terrorists don't like it very much. And then Democrats, they see that Democrats are urging withdrawals, are urging dialogues, are urging evacuations and sit-downs with the Iranian president and troop withdrawal timetables. And to the terrorists, all of this means victory. If you sit down with them, if you sign ceasefires with them, if you negotiate with them, if you talk to their state sponsors like Iran, like Syria, then that means that they're winning and we're losing. That's the way they see it. So the terrorists are going to support any political party or any presidential candidate that would advocate for what they see as some of their goals. But I'll tell you, Barack Obama, 6 months ago, actually, when I was writing my book about a year ago, the terrorists really didn't know much about Obama. They heard a few things, but back then he wasn't as famous as he is now. But if you call around now, and I'll tell you, you watch Al Jazeera, you watch the Arabic networks, and they're covering Obama, sometimes as if he's Muslim. I mean, the Indonesian media always says that Obama's a Muslim. And the terrorists, they hear these things, they watch, they see his policies. He's very big now. So they hate all Americans. They hate Republicans. They hate Democrats. Don't get me wrong. They don't love Democrats. But they're gonna support any political party or any political candidate. And apparently, in this case, Barack Obama, who they think will advance their goals.
Well, you mentioned withdrawal, and Obama has been talking about that for a long time. And John McCain keeps talking about the surge is working. Well, the Iraqi prime minister, I guess it was the other day, mentioned that he wanted to see the United States withdraw within a couple of years, and he's giving a timetable, which is what Obama's been doing. I think it might have given a little bit of credibility to Obama and kind of whacked McCain a bit.
Yeah, I think that's certainly the case. Although, when congressional delegations visit foreign leaders, they're not really supposed to leak out things that happen behind closed doors, and so it could be the Iraqi leader was saying what Obama wanted to hear. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't, but this happened behind closed doors, and then Obama and his people leaked out the quotes, and they wouldn't have leaked it out unless it would help them. So obviously they realized that it would help them. And you know, I don't think that America needs to stay in Iraq forever. It's obvious that eventually America needs to get out when the time is right. But what Obama doesn't seem to recognize is that fighting terrorism sometimes works, that the troop surge, there's no question at this point, It has al-Qaeda in retreat. It has the insurgents in retreat. In fact, insurgent leaders have openly directed some of their gunmen to retreat because of this surge. And not, you know, none of the reporters in Iraq who are so-called interviewing, I don't want to call it interviewing, they're sitting down and they're giving Obama an open microphone to spew whatever he wants. None of them are asking him whether the troop surge works. None of them are asking him the pressing questions about what if more troops are needed? What if local commanders on the ground believe that a withdrawal needs to be based on their perception on the ground and not so much a specific timetable? So he's getting away with all of these things, and the perception that most Americans get is that foreign leaders love Obama. Obama has the right policies, he has the right advisors, he has the right affiliations, and he's the right man for the job.
There's a number of things that you wrote here in this book, especially about the response to September 11th as a response to terrorism. The confusion, the mixed messages. I thought this was all very interesting. One of the things that, I thought was fascinating is you meeting with all these people. I know what happened to Daniel Pearl and other reporters of Jewish descent. Why did you even trust these people that they wouldn't kill you? You've obviously survived all these interviews with all these people who are not exactly fans of Jewish people or Americans. Why do you think they've let you survive, and have you ever felt, and I know you have because I read your book, but have you ever felt really threatened that maybe this would be your last interview?
I never trusted them. These are killers. These are anti-Semitic killers who exist to fight Jews and fight the Crusaders, as they call them. But I realized that in America, most people are not getting the true story about terrorism. In fact, I don't think that people in America, and it's really incredible that here we are, it's 2008, many years after the September 11th attacks, and most Americans really still don't understand what terrorism is about. And I thought that why not just actually go in and talk to these guys? And I guess I put my life at risk a little bit for my job, as other people do in their jobs, but this is maybe a little more extreme. At the same time, actually, no, and I don't want to be naive because I realize that I'm meeting with killers. I never thought that I was safe, but no journalist has ever been killed by Palestinians. They've been kidnapped, but not killed. But still, I guess I thought that it was in part worth the risk to get the story out. And yeah, there were quite a few times on the ground when I was actually in the terrorist lairs and they had the weapons. I don't. There's nothing I can do. I really absolutely thought that my life was in danger, and I just thank God for getting out. And ever since the book came out, except for maybe one or two times in a select area, I haven't gone in to meet terrorists. I've been talking with them regularly on the phone, but I think my days of meeting terrorists for a little while at least are on hold.
Yeah, I would hope so, actually. But it's a fascinating story that you have here, and there's so many things that I want to talk about. I could talk for about 5 hours, but we don't have that much time. But one of the things is the media, and I'm not talking about our media. I'm talking about the Palestinian media, the Arab media, and the Israeli media. The Palestinian media, and I've seen many things on YouTube, really teaches the people to hate Jews from a young age. But the Israeli media doesn't do that. Tell us a little bit about the difference between those two media groups.
The Palestinian media, they have on a regular basis like music videos that are advocating Palestinian children to blow themselves up, and then it shows the Palestinians after they carried out a suicide bomb goes up to heaven and gets 72 dark-eyed virgins. About a week ago, they had a so-called news report that Jews are taking x-rays and then using x-ray technology to kill Palestinians. And every day you have the local sheikhs and Palestinian leaders going on television and advocating the destruction of Israel, advocating death, advocating martyrdom, as they call it, advocating suicide bombings. The Palestinian media and the overall Palestinian society is a culture of death. It's a culture of targeting civilians. And this is why, this is the major difference between the one side, the Palestinian side, and the other, the Western side, the American side or the Israeli side. The Israeli media, which I think is terrible for their own reasons, but it's absolutely democratic. They not only do they not not called about for destruction of the other side, or they don't promote propaganda or anything. Actually, the exact opposite. A lot of times, whenever Israel defends itself, it's the Israeli media that criticizes the Israeli Defense Forces for civilian casualties. I would say the Israeli media is more pro-Palestinian than really most other media outlets out there. But that the difference is that the Palestinians take on suicide belts, strap on a belt, and then go into a restaurant or cafe and blow themselves up. They use civilian homes to fire rockets into Jewish homes. They draw Israel into civilian population centers, and that's when sometimes Israel unfortunately kills civilians. The other side, Israel, does everything it can to not target civilians, to restrain itself. Actually, a lot of times the Israeli Defense Forces many times has gone house to house in different villages, as opposed to American carpet bombing in Afghanistan and Iraq. We've seen it all the time. Israel actually puts its troops at risk just not to target Palestinian civilians. I'll give you one example that really I think was stunning. I have a friend who's in the Israeli Defense Forces, and they were fighting in Gaza this about 6 months ago, and they killed a terrorist, and my friend and two other soldiers are just there. They kill a terrorist a few feet away, and they're at war. They're in a war zone, and then a little boy, maybe 8 or 9 years old, comes to the terrorist gunman's dead body, takes the gun from the dead body, and then in front of my friends who are Israeli soldiers, brings the gun to another terrorist, hands the gun to the terrorist, and then the terrorist starts using the gun to fire at my friends. They watch this happen. This is what the Palestinians do. They use children, they use civilians to draw Israel into a conflict.
And if the Israelis had shot that boy, it would have been on YouTube tomorrow.
Of course.
That's a major problem. You know, what is interesting, first of all, we did a promotion about this interview, and many of the emails that came in said things like this one from someone from Everett, Mass. Said, you can't believe what the guy says, he's a Jew.
Well, you know, actually, that's why I talk with terrorists. It's because, don't believe me. I actually, if you don't want to believe me, okay, but listen to what the terrorists have to say. This is, I'm quoting them. And because I realized if I would write a book about Israel, then everybody would see what you just said. He's a Jew. He's conservative. He works for a conservative outlet. He has a bias. But what I did was I actually talked with the terrorists themselves and then just took their words and let the readers listen to for themselves just who our enemy is.
You know, talking about the enemy, I think Michael Savage makes a very good point about the enemy within. Our presidential candidate, Obama, where his preacher was talking about goddamn America, his wife talking about how she was ashamed of America. The people within are a real problem. And in fact, I have run into a number of Jewish folks who are big supporters of Obama. And when I ask why, they say, well, you know, they're sick of the Israeli occupation and things.
Right.
Well, they talk like someone who, is supporting terrorism, because you can't flip this around. People out there who are condemning Israel is still the good guy, folks. Maybe they don't do everything perfectly, but in this conflict, they're the good guys. But I hear all these people flipping this around.
Actually, I think that they're the enemy, and I'm talking about from somebody who sits down with terrorists. When I sit down with a terrorist, I am actually not upset at the terrorist, because a lot of interviewers have asked me, how can you, as a Jew, how can you actually sit there and talk to these killers who want to destroy the Jewish state, who want to destroy the United States? Aren't you furious at them? I mean, yeah, I don't have weapons. I can't do anything to them. But how could I not be upset at them? And actually, I'm not. I don't blame the terrorists. I know this is a little controversial, but it's something you can't really understand until you actually talk with a terrorist or until you meet with evil. It's that this is what they do. This is what they're born to do. They're evil people who want to kill. I fault more the Israeli government and the Americans who think that you can negotiate with these guys, who think that if you sign ceasefires, they're going to use the ceasefire to manufacture lollipops or something, who think that if you give them territory, if you give them a state, then they're going to actually use the state to build a civilized society. It's us that are building the terrorists up, whether we realize it or not. I don't know if you know this. Well, you do because you read Schmoozing with Terrorists, but actually, it's Israel and the United States that's mostly responsible for building up the Fatah moderates, as they're called. They're not moderates, they're actually terrorists. Mm-hmm. We give arms and training and financing to Fatah, that's Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah organization, and then their militants take the guns, they take the training, they take the money, and they use it, and they turn it around to shoot at Jews. So actually, we are fueling a lot of the violence and terrorism with our own taxpayer-funded dollars, and this is why it is the enemy within. I'm more furious with Americans and Israelis than I am with Hamas and Islamic Jihad.
Well, the thing that really concerns me is every time they've had these, you know, land for peace things, they're always broken by the Palestinian side, every single time, but yet, you know, the media says, well, you know, it takes time, and the Israelis got to give more, and it's quite obvious that a Palestinian state, quote unquote, even if it ever becomes one, will just have as its intent destroying Israel, no matter what they say in public, because in Arabic they're making these announcements on a regular basis. So, I mean, it seems to me like us pushing this Palestinian state, the United States, I'm talking about, is really hurting ourselves.
It is. How is it, in the midst of the war on terrorism, how would it be to our advantage to have what would be probably the biggest terrorist state in the world? Because look at Gaza. It's tiny. It's 1.5 million people in a little tiny area. Israel gave up the Gaza Strip, and the terrorists, by the way, I talked to them, and so did a lot of other people, before Israel evacuated Gaza, and they announced, it was no secret, they announced they were going to use Gaza to build militaries, to bring in rockets and weapons, and to use Gaza to further their goal of Israel's destruction, of firing rockets further and further into Israel.
It's a launching pad for it, for violence.
And then Israel gets out, and that's exactly what happens. And the terrorists are announcing once again that if they get the West Bank, which is what they want now, and eastern sections of Jerusalem, and the West Bank, by the way, comes very close to Tel Aviv. It's not far from Israel's main population center. They're going to use that to fire more rockets into Israel. So I think something else is going on here, both in the Israeli side and in the American side. This is obviously not to the best interests of Israel. It's obviously not to the best interests of the United States. And I think that this is capitulation at the highest level, that maybe Israel is paying a price for other policies that are going on in the Middle East.
I think you are absolutely correct. And there's no question what's going to happen if they get this territory. The first time they start shooting rockets at the Israelis, Israel will say, well, you know, we're going to give them a couple of days and let them stop doing it. And then eventually they're going to fight back, and it's Israel that's the terrible person. Look at what they're doing to these poor civilians, because they shoot the rockets from people's houses, from churches, from mosques, from different areas where they know that they're going to attract attention on retaliation. So.
Of course, and then Israel's the bad guy for defending itself. And what's even worse is sometimes you have international troops come in, and I think that an idea that the Israeli government has is to put international forces in Gaza, to put international forces in the West Bank eventually, as if international troops will ever protect Israel. Just look at the situation in Lebanon. Israel was at war. Actually, it lost a war against Hezbollah in 2006 because Prime Minister Ehud Olmert would not allow the Israeli Defense Forces to do their job. And then 30,000 international troops, 28,000 about, came into South Lebanon, I don't know if you remember this, in 2006, and their job was supposed to be that the Hezbollah terror group, they'll ensure Hezbollah does not arm, does not retrain itself, doesn't open bases along the Israeli border. Well, guess what? We're now in 2008. Hezbollah has more rockets than ever. They're building up their bases in full view of the international troops. And what will happen, mark my words, is that there will be another confrontation against Hezbollah whenever, maybe next week, next month, in the year, 2 years from now. And now you have international troops that were supposed to be there to ensure Hezbollah doesn't rearm, and they're going to be in the way. They're actually probably going to, without realizing it, protect Hezbollah, so it's going to make it more difficult for Israel. The bottom line is that only Israel, I think, can ensure its own security. And unless Israel retains land, then it's never going to have security.
You are right. If they give away their borders, they're done. And the other thing that we haven't even talked about yet is Iran and their nuclear weapons and their nut that's running the country.
Iran is actually a lot of the instability that we've been talking about for the last 25 minutes. It's all coming from Iran, or a lot of it. Iran is financing the Palestinian terror gangs. They're financing and training and arming Hezbollah, and they're very clear that they're going to go ahead with their nuclear capability. If you look at this latest proposal that was floated by the international community to Iran, you look at the fine print, and it actually said that Iran should not continue with future nuclear enrichment projects. But basically what this latest proposal meant was that they can continue with their old enrichment plans, just no new enrichment plans. So all Iran had to do was sign off to this, and it would have been a meaningless treaty with the West. They would have been able to continue with their old enrichment program, do whatever they wanted to do, and yet they're rejecting the international community. They are rejecting the United States. They're rejecting the EU, and they've made very clear that their intention is to get nuclear capabilities, and they're going to go ahead and do that unless they're stopped. And sanctions are obviously not going to work. We all know that. And so the bottom line is that Iran is probably going to have a nuclear weapon in a year, 2 years from now, unless somebody stops them. And I don't think that there's anybody on the horizon to stop them right now, because if you look at the Israeli government, I honestly hope that Prime Minister Ehud Olmert does not bomb Iran. I advocate doing something about Iran, but not when Olmert's in power, because this man is dangerous. He cannot handle military operations. He can't oversee a war. So I hope the Israeli government gets rid of him as soon as possible so that they can actually deal with the Iranian threat.
Well, I think that they have to. I mean, there's no certainly nobody else is going to take it out except Israel.
Yeah, that's very clear, and I think that Israel understands this. And from what everything that I'm hearing, it's that the United States has made clear to Israel that the United States will not help. They will not get involved. Apparently, there have been reports that Israeli jets are operating on Iraqi soil. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but from what I understand is that they're not. From what I understand is that if Israel is going to have to do something, they need to do it on their own without help. So I think the Israeli Defense Forces is the best in the Middle East. There's no question that they have capabilities. The only question now is whether Israel is going to get the green light and whether there's an Israeli leadership that is tough enough to do something about Iran.
And to withstand the condemnation of the world when they do it.
And the retaliation. It's not going to be easy. This is not 1981, where Israel flew a few thousand kilometers and then bombed one reactor in Iraq and then got out. It was a surprise attack. This is not September 2007, where Israel flew next door to Syria and bombed one Syrian nuclear facility in a surprise attack, got in, got out. This is Iran. They're far away from Israel. And Iran has been anticipating an Israeli war, an Israeli strike against them for 3 or 4 years now. Iran is well prepared for this. There is no surprise, unless Israel has some surprise card up its sleeve, unless Israel has some capability or another option that we don't know about, and I hope they do. But it's going to be messy if there's a war. There's going to be retaliation. And so obviously Israel needs to weigh, and the United States needs to weigh, whether expected very likely Iranian retaliation is worth it on the one hand, or on the other hand, is it worth it to risk doing nothing and then have Iran, the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, have nuclear capabilities that threaten not only Israel but also the United States. We always think that Iran is a nuclear threat to Israel. Iran wants to destroy Israel. The press reports whenever Ahmadinejad, the Iranian president, spews another threat against Israel, the headlines are always Iran threatens Israel. Just listen to the rest of what Iran says. Listen to Ahmadinejad's speech when he speaks for 20 minutes against Israel. He spends the next 40 minutes speaking against the United States. Israel is a smokescreen that Iran has very successfully put up so that the whole world believes that Iran's nuclear bomb is marketed to Israel. It's not. Israel is just one of the goals. The ultimate goal is the United States of America.
Yeah, I had a guy who sent an email over here that said, quote, "The when Israel is destroyed, the problems of the world will go away."
Yeah, and maybe you can try and wait and see, but the problem is that I talk with the other side, with the enemies, and they see things a little bit differently. They see Israel as the United States. They see Israel as an outpost of the West. And the problem is that this goes back, that exact email goes back to what I said earlier, and that is that most Americans have no idea what Islamic terrorism is all about. So let me educate you really quickly, because I heard this from the terrorists themselves. It's not coming from me. The terrorists, they have their short-term goals, which is to destroy Israel, to get America out of the Middle East, out of Iraq, out of Afghanistan. But their long-term goal, their ultimate goal, and they have one, and that is to spread Islam around the world. That is what the terrorists are fighting for. It's what Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, they're all fighting to spread Islam. And if you give them Israel, then they're going to take it and then move on to their next target. There's no question about it from them and anyone in the United States who thinks otherwise. I think that, unfortunately, you're getting the wrong information. And I don't blame you, because the media doesn't tell you the full story. And that's why I think it's important to talk with terrorists and let them explain things for themselves.
And I think that people out there who think this is true, once Israel goes, then it's the European areas, because they already have a very large infiltration into many of the European governments and populations.
Actually, I've talked with some terrorists for the book who say that they don't even need to attack Europe, that in parts of Europe, Muslims are already taking over. Islam is spreading. Just look on the outskirts of Paris, look in London, look in Madrid, look at Mohammed being the number one male baby's name in Europe. Islam is spreading in Europe. At the same time, I think there's going to come a point, just like Israel, if they give up territory, then they're going to wait a little while. There are going to be attacks. Eventually, something is going to tick Israel off, and they're going to fight back. And I think you do see the tide start to turn a little bit in Paris, a little bit in London, not enough. We'll see whether it becomes too late or not. But so far, I think that Islam is doing a very good job at spreading in Europe.
Well, one of the things I think that helps Islam spread in Europe is also the anti-Semitism that is all over Europe and all over the world, actually. Probably a third of all people dislike Jews. So it kind of feeds into the whole thing as well.
Which is why it really annoys me here in Israel that they don't realize, the Jewish state does not realize how isolated it is. That the reason, the very first reason for even founding a Jewish state is to have a safe haven where Jews can protect themselves, because nobody else is going to do it for them. And so when Israel thinks that they should rely on Europe, rely on the EU, even rely on the United States, and the United States is the best friend of Israel, don't get me wrong, but the bottom line is that only Israel can ensure its own security, but until it realizes that, it's going to be in trouble.
There was a big controversial part during the election campaign, and I should disclose that I'm a Democrat, and I was a delegate to the Democratic Convention in Massachusetts for Deval Patrick, who's one of the most liberal people around, our governor. Mm-hmm. But there was an issue when Hillary Clinton was running against Obama. Someone asked her if Iran nuked Israel, what would be her response in the United States, and she said that she would actually retaliate in the same. And Obama said he would talk. He would discuss his anger at the situation or something like that. That was a very controversial thing, and actually Hillary Clinton took a lot of heat for her response to that question.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton. I think that she would have been the absolute best candidate for Israel, even more than McCain in certain ways, for the Middle East. But that's the difference between Obama and pretty much every other presidential candidate before Hillary and now McCain. It's that for Obama, talks are his policy. Usually, talks for a government are to achieve another policy. For Obama, it's all about talks. It's all about negotiation. And if you're Iran and you hear that and you hear, wow, big bad Barack Obama is going to come over and what's he going to do? He's going to talk to us. Oh, no. The terrorists, their supporters, their state sponsors, they love this stuff. They love the idea of negotiations, of talks. And so it emboldens Iran to realize, well, if Israel doesn't do something about us before January and Obama is elected, then it's just full speed ahead. We're good. That's what Iran is. I believe that's actually their strategy, to drag on the this conflict for as long as possible until January. And then come January, Israel is going to be locked. They can't do anything. And the international community will continue with talks and dialogue and meaningless sanctions. And Iran ends up winning.
There are people out there who are big Obama supporters, and many of them are Jewish, and local people I've talked to all the time. You think it's really as bad as this? If Obama gets elected, is Israel in peril?
Yeah, I truly believe so. Not because maybe he's Muslim, maybe he's not. If he says he's Christian. It doesn't matter to me. Not because of things he did before he was a president, or who he had dinner with, or who gave him a fundraiser. Just look at his actual campaign manager, Meryl McPeak, who has actually said that Israel, that Jews are the problem to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Or if you look at his chief advisor on Israeli-Palestinian issues, who was with him in Israel, his name is Daniel Kurtzer. Kurtzer is the former U.S. ambassador to Israel. He is identified openly by sitting Israeli prime ministers as the worst enemy that Israel has in the United States government. Literally, from Bibi Netanyahu through Yitzhak Shamir, through others, they have said on the record that Daniel Kurtzer uses his Jewishness against the Jewish people. Daniel Kurtzer is the guy who first wrote a State Department speech that recognized the PLO, that recognized Yasser Arafat. He has been identified by Ariel Sharon all the way through Yitzhak Rabin, who's was very interested in giving up territory. They said that Daniel Kurtzer would urge extreme concessions from Israel. And this is Obama's chief guy on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And you have a lot of his other advisors, his relationship with Rashid Khalidi, who's a pro-Palestinian Columbia University professor. I actually broke the story about Obama's relationship with Khalidi, who advocates openly. He actually just wrote an opinion piece in The Nation magazine about a month and a half ago, and he literally wrote a 2,000-word thesis about dismantling Israel, and he used certain terms in there, like saying that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a constant sore. And then 4 days later, Obama used the same terms that Rashid Khalidi used in this piece advocating the destruction of Israel. And so I think Obama's advisors on relationships are scary. Look at Robert Malley, who was apparently one of his ancillary advisors. The guy was talking with Hamas. You can't get any more extreme than that. And I think there's a reason that Hamas is advocating for Obama to be elected. And I don't think that reason is because Obama favors Israel. He doesn't.
I think that you got it down. And I think people need to take this thing seriously. If you're a Jew hater and you're listening to this, you're probably really thrilled with all the good news. If you're not, if you're Jewish and you're actually concerned about Israel, I hope that you listened carefully. G. Gordon Liddy said that Klein is the most talented, accurate reporter in the Middle East today. He has better access to the terrorist bad guys than Muhammad would if he ever came back from the dead. And you guys should get the book. It's called Schmoozing with Terrorists. It's available on the Internet. Aaron Klein, thanks so much for coming on the show, and stay healthy there in Israel.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.